That's a hockey, you know, it's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
You know why? Because bad things happen in Philadelphia. Bad things.
What's up, you beauties? Welcome to another episode of High and Wide Radio. I'm Jim, and I'm joined, as always, by the host of our hit show, Full Circle, Jack Smith. We'll be joined by our good buddy, Frank the Animal Biolelis, in just a little bit. But before we get started, if you're not listening live, please make sure to subscribe, follow, and listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Spreaker. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give a quick shout out to our affiliate sites, fullpresscoverage.com, bellyupsports.com. Belly Up Sports recently updated their site. We're on there, among 42 other podcasts on bellyupsports.com. Go check it out during our episode. They have everything you need when it comes to sports. They do what the others don't. Find us on both sites under podcasts. And while you're listening to our episode, check out our site, hwhockey.net. Check out our power rankings. Drop a comment. Let us know what you think. Jack, a lot to get to. Let's start off quickly before we get to the good stuff, Tom Wilson, et cetera, with the dumpster fire. All of a sudden, that is the New York Rangers, dude. What the hell is happening up there? It's just chaos.
Absolute chaos. To hear James Dolan, who is the owner of the New York Rangers, you may know that name as he's also the owner of the New York Knicks and had that fiasco a couple years ago with former Nick Charles Oakley and the whole banning him from the arena and all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. Pretty much nobody likes the guy, but as with most owners, that's usually the case. He, after the president and GM of the Rangers had essentially released that statement about calling for George Parros' job. Pretty much the next day and a half, they're both shit canned, which is impressive. Like, wow. Okay. And you're going to say it's not related, which they did come out and say, but let's be real here. Like this is, if it wasn't for this directly, which I believe this is a reason they used to get Chris Drury into the GM spot. Because I mean, he's like a hot commodity right now. And he wants to be the GM of the Rangers, and the Rangers want him to be the GM. And it's before he gets poached by somebody else, he says, you know what? You've taken too much time. I'm going elsewhere. They said, this is a perfect opportunity to move this in. On top of that, I heard they were looking at courting Mark Messier to be their president. So honestly, I think it was an opportunistic move for them. Obviously, they're going to come out and say, no, it has nothing to do with it. We don't like the – but what they did say, which is kind of jarring, we did not like the direction of the Rangers. That is even more of a worse lie than saying that you didn't fire these guys for this reason, because they were on the up and up. Sure, they missed the playoffs. We all know what happened with Anthony DeAngelo. But other than that, they have some serious pieces that are getting better and better by the day. You have a Norris candidate in Adam Fox. Potential studs across the board. Current studs with Zibanejad and Panarin. Shesterkin could be a stud. I mean, this team, sky's the limit for this team. They're literally missing maybe one defenseman when they drafted plenty and a legitimate center. And they're in every single Jack Eichel rumor that you've heard of. So to say that this team was the wrong direction is complete bogus. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree with that. So the fact that they fired the president and the GM, you know, after, if you really look at the Rangers season, it is kind of a disappointment, right? Like, they started out very slow. They couldn't score. I think Zibanejad had 2 goals until they started playing the Flyers this year. I don't know. You look at the roster that Gorton put together. Gifted, Kako. I don't know. Which one is it, Jack? Don't you have him on your fantasy
Kako,
team?
Kako.
Okay.
Kako. I said it backwards. That's how I read it. It's always first, last name first. Kako.
Yeah. And then they're gifted Lafreniere. And they're gifted Artemi Panarin. So it's like, well, this guy didn't do brain surgery to this roster. He was gifted 3 potential superstar talents. Absolutely a superstar in Panarin.
If I'm gonna be a jerk here, you were kind of gifted Adam Fox too, because he pretty much only wanted to play from New York. That's not 100% true, but it's pretty close to the truth.
He found his way there though, didn't he?
He certainly did.
So it's still a shock. I'm not trying to take too much away from Jeff Gorton, but you know, the one guy is in the race for the Norris. The other guy is in a race for a heart. The other two could, you know, could be rookies of the year. One was a one overall pick. The other was a second overall pick. I don't know. It just seemed like weird timing. Like you said, dude, you used a very good word there. Opportunistic was the right word, right? All this stuff kind of blew up in New York's face the last couple of days. I thought the statement they came out with was an absolute joke. And it was going to backfire on. I mean, to do that, they kind of put themselves in the corner a little bit, I thought, because now you have the NHL pissed off at you, right? And they can't come out tonight and, you know, run around, because then they look like hypocrites, right? So you can't go against what you said the night before, right? What did they say? It was horrifying, or they were horrified, whatever.
That and the Ryan Strome comments were kind of jarring. He's just disappointed, essentially, was the word he used. And they everybody expected, and this isn't wrong, like the entire world expected with his history, Wilson's, that is, a suspension of some kind.
Yeah.
And the fact that he got the maximal amount is $5,000, which is nothing. It's a drop in a bucket for these guys. And it's also the same fine that Henrik Lundqvist got for squirting a bottle at, you know, Crosby is a little, you know, concerning, to say the least. So a lot of players came out and were just like, yeah, we're really disappointed. They really dropped the ball, which is understandable. But to go directly at NHL player safety, I mean, let's get one thing straight. We all feel this way. We all know George Parros is a figurehead at best. They're the most inconsistent organization or department in the NHL by far. It's not even close. It's not even close. Everybody knows, but that's also like the team releasing a statement about a bad officiating. We all know it. You don't do it. You know,
no.
It is what it is. Unless they felt they were truly protecting their player. 3 games left in the season. It's not going to go bad for you.
I want to know what they thought was going to happen by doing that. What was going to happen? Okay, so you released a statement. Everybody saw what happened, right? I mean, you can defend Tom Wilson or you know, and we're going to get to that. But what did they think was going to happen? The NHL Department of Player Safety was not going to go back and say, whoops, maybe we'll change that now. The decision's made, you know, and, you know, you could even say that they're going to screw themselves, because let's say the Rangers do come out and they go headhunting, whatever, and, you know, somebody gets hurt. Now they should be punished, right? That's what they're calling for. When you do that kind of stuff, when you want, and I'm not saying the Rangers want things to go to extreme. They just wanted Tom Wilson to be punished. You know, what's the word I'm looking for? They wanted the punishment to fit the crime. All right. And in their eyes, it didn't
come close. At least an attempt.
Yeah. And so for me, 5,000, I mean, that was the maximal allowed, right? 5,000
by the NHLPA, which tends to protect the offender more than the victim.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me. What did he rabbit punched Buchnevich, right? That's what he got the $5,000 for.
Yeah. They didn't do anything with the slamming of Panarin's helmetless head into the ice. So that was nothing. That was a scrum at the end of the game. That didn't count as anything.
So let's talk about that for a little bit. We're hopefully going to have Frank on in about 8-9 minutes. So let's just get our opinions out here before Frank comes on, because he's got some interesting takes here. For those of you who don't know who Frank Bialowis was, do yourself a favor in the next 8 minutes, Google Frank the Animal Bialowis, played for the Philadelphia Phantoms back in the day, and you might have an idea of why we're getting him on for this episode. He can kind of give his perspective, his point of view. May not have the perspective and point of view that you guys think. So we're excited to get Frank on. Jack, from my point of view, here's my argument. Artemi Panarin jumps on Tom Wilson's back, okay? If you're Artemi Panarin, you don't stand a chance at all. And you're going to get ragdolled, whether it's, you know, beaten to shit or tossed. It's going to happen one way or the other. And he got tossed, you know? If it was, let's say, a Matt Martin that jumped on his back, he's not getting slammed like that. You know what I mean? It's not going to look like that. People are angry because it was Artemi Panarin. If it was, I don't know, Brendan Smith or some random player, do you think people would be talking about it the way we are?
Potentially. Simply only because of the head thing. You know, like they talked about it when Sam Moran slammed, they traded a guy, and I'm blanking on, oh, Lemieux's head a little bit. And you make a good point, and I don't want to just let it go, you know, by the wayside. Like, he did jump on his back. Now, I did rewatch this play. He jumped on his back. He didn't stick a knife in his ribs, all right? Like, it was a Panarin, you know, and I understand he doesn't know who's jumping on his back, whatever. This isn't, you know, a back alley brawl. And it's not the 70s, it's not the 80s, it's not the 90s. This is the CET era. We all know this. Panarin is just defending his teammate. He's not trying to destroy Wilson by any means, but he saw what happened and he's just defending his teammates. Wilson proceeded to turn around and ragdoll him, like you said, and then he was in a really bad position, Panarin, and proceeded to slam his head into the ground. And then he hit him again after that. Like, I like players like Chris Pronger who would go right up to the edge. They'd go right up to that line and they would teeter. But Wilson, he just goes past the line. It's just too much. And then when you factor in the history this guy has and he doesn't even get a suspension, it's laughable. It's absolutely laughable. However, because I know we're going to let Franco when he gets on, I do want to add this. This is from an article written by Rick Carpinello from The Athletic. Quote, "No, it is Gary Bettman's NHL that is particularly at fault here. From the weak T Department of Player Safety and its pandering leader, George Parros, to its on-ice officials, starting with the West look at me, McCauley, and ending with the linesmen who always look to protect the predator from vengeance and not protect the prey. Much the way the players union, for God's sakes, protects the villain and not the victim." As stated earlier by myself. "Just another embarrassing day in the life of a pro sports league, one that Mario Lemieux, I'll bet, while lobbying for special treatment, once so accurately labeled a garbage league," end quote. So what that essentially says there is Wilson. We know what he is. The NHL, with decisions like this, enable him to be this way. If all you're going to get, and I believe... what is it, the guy's name from Phoenix? He made the All-Star game. It's John something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know who you mean.
I've retweeted what he had said. I can't remember his name. He was an enforcer with Phoenix and quite a rough one. He pretty much, like, if I was playing in the league today and I saw that, I'm like, it is open season right now out there right now. I mean, a $5,000 fine is the maximum I'm going to get for something like that to a star player. I am going to go balls to the wall. This is my job, and they just made it that much easier. For a league that is supposed to be watching head injury and head trauma, and not just the league, it's the way of life now, to find so little to a guy with such an amazing history of this is very concerning. So I don't blame Wilson half as much as I blame the NHL.
$5 million, well worth it. I mean, $5,000, well worth
it. If he's not missing any games because of this, Flyers need to trade for him tomorrow. Give up everything. Like, oh my God. When he signed that deal, I was concerned. I'm like, he's playing with top-tier talent. I don't think he's as good as the money. But we all agree we would love him in the Flyers. Nobody's arguing that. But there was always concern. Like, he'll miss a considerable amount of time. He'll go into the box for 5 minutes and kill you, pretty much lose the game for you on those rare occasions. But if he's only get $5,000 for this and be able to come back the next day, nobody's going to touch him. Like,
yeah,
he's one of the most valuable players in the league. Like, that's unbelievable.
So let's get our player perspective now. We have the man, the myth, the legend, the animal about to join us. Frank, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, good, man. How are you?
All right. Doing awesome, dude. Going to talk to you about some stuff a little bit different than concrete today, man.
Okay.
So I asked you earlier, you said, you know, you haven't been keeping up with the NHL as much as you have been, but you have opinions on Tom Wilson. And we just now started talking about him a little bit. In case you haven't heard by now, he was fined $5,000 by the NHL Player Department of Safety. For, you know, essentially body slamming Artemi Panarin and rabbit punching Pavel Buchnevich the other night. Now, I just want to hear from your perspective, because there's really nobody better to talk to about, you know, stuff like this than you. What's your perspective? Right. How do you view Tom Wilson? What would you do if you were in the league, if you were him, if you were facing, if you were going against him? Just give us all the good stuff, dude.
Well, I mean, first of all, the game's changed 1,000,000%. I mean, like, Tom Wilson, honestly, what the fuck is he? Like, middleweight at best? You know, I don't think he could wipe my fucking ass, to be honest with you. But I'm 50 years old, and I go fucking kick his teeth out in 2 seconds. That's, you know, first of all. But, you know, there's no one around anymore. I mean, so, you know, you have a bunch of pussies running around. And, you know, so he can act like God. He's like Godzilla, but he's a nobody. You know what I mean? It's a shame. But I don't think he's doing anything wrong. If someone jumped on my back, I'd fucking put his head through the ice, not, you know, body slam him. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, he hits. He's playing the game a little bit tough. He's not really doing anything wrong. Like, if I was out there, I'd fucking kill everybody. You know what I mean? It's just sad. Hockey's changed. Like, they're a bunch of I'd be in fucking jail. The NHL would lock me up and give me life in prison. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. You know, all the old guys, I seen LaRocque tweeted some shit today. My brother was telling me, I actually called my brother to see what happened because I have no clue. You know what I mean? But it was funny. I was like, yeah, he didn't do it. I mean, who gives a shit? You know, you're playing hockey. You know, they should make, like, you know how they got the lingerie bowl for football? They should make the same shit for hockey. It'd be more interesting. You know, a bunch of broads out there with their G-strings on and shit. I'd rather watch that.
Holy shit, dude. So you made a comment earlier when I asked you to come on how, you know, Wilson usually goes after the smaller guys. If you're a player in the league, do you kind of notice that? And you're like, you know what? Like,
he hits every...
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have to. Like, I mean, you know, there's no one. I mean, the Flyers are a bunch of pansies. You know, they had that Moran for a couple games or whatever made things interesting. I mean, they're everyone. I mean, you can do whatever you want. Like I said, if someone was me, like me was playing right now, you could do whatever you want. No one's even going to look at you. You know what I mean? They're going to skate around like, God damn, I don't want to look at that son of a bitch. He'll kill me. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's no repercussions anymore. You know, back when we played, you know, even if you sat on the bench and did nothing, never got a shift or did shit, you know what I mean? Everybody knew that you're sitting there and all you had to do is Billy Barber to come kick me in the ass and say, hey, go play a shift. You're dead. That's it. You know what I mean? So act like an asshole and get your head fucking knocked off. That's, you know, and everybody had one. You don't, you know, they just completely took it out of the game. So now you got all these little midgets running around thinking that they're, you know, King Kong and they fuck all, you know. And that's, I said, Tom Wilson at best, a late middleweight, you know what I mean? You go back in the days with Bonvy, LaRocque, Proby, hey, fucking be dead. You ain't gonna run around like that. His balls would shrink up. He'd have reason nuts instead of what he's doing right now. He wouldn't even want to come off the fucking bench. I guarantee you.
So if you're Tom Wilson and you have to face a team with Frank Bialewicz on the other bench, do you think that changes the way he thinks, the way he plays a little bit? Or
he wouldn't even dress. I guarantee you. Yeah, you get the flu real quick.
Oh, shit.
Listen, if the Rangers would sign someone like me or LaRocque for tonight's game, I'd almost bet you $1,000,000 that you know, Washington's coach or whoever would not dress him. I guarantee it. Because they know he's dead, man. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you'd have to do. I wouldn't even have to play a minute. I just have to sit on the bench. He wouldn't dress. As soon as my name or someone's name, like myself, would be in the lineup, that would be it. He wouldn't dress tonight. Guaranteed.
So, yeah. Tom Wilson's a prime example of why teams still need an enforcer type player. I mean, obviously the game's changed, so this player's got to be able to put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
But they need somebody who can protect their players.
Absolutely. I mean, you do. I mean, right now it's a world of middleweights. You know what I mean? Simmons is in there. He's, you know, he's okay. He's tough. But, you know, like I said, it's just a bunch of middleweights. There's no more real fighting because they can all play. And, you know, there's no heavyweights in NHL anymore. Chara is about, you know, and he just plays with people. You know what I mean? He's a tough kid. I mean, I fought him a couple times, but.
You fought Chara a couple times?
I don't know.
Wait, you fought Zdeno Chara?
Everybody, man. Him, Worrell. It was like,
I remember Worrell.
Kentucky. Yeah, I fought everybody. Man.
Shit, yeah. I had no idea you fought Chara. He was a fucking monster. How tall are you? 6'10"? 5'11"?
He's probably got about fucking 60 inches of reach on me. I got
short. Yeah, I know. How the hell did you fight Chara, Dean?
Dude,
chopping down a friggin' tree.
Dude, I fought Worrell. I fought all of them.
Worrell was a bad dude, man. I remember watching him with the Panthers.
Worrell hung on to me for dear life. He didn't want to get hit. He grabbed my right hand with both his hands and wouldn't let go. It was the funniest thing ever. I was like, come on, for fuck's sake, throw. He's like, uh-oh. I'm like, okay. Yeah, it didn't throw nothing. Couldn't throw a punch.
Yeah. Did you ever have the opportunity to fight LaRocque?
Nah, you know what? I played against George a few times, and we never got – I was fighting everyone else. You know what I mean? Never got into it. But, I mean, now, like, you know, after hockey and the boxing and stuff like that, if I would have did that when I was a kid and realized that I could punch, you know, and hurt people with my left hand as much – like, nowadays, I'd be a fucking killer. You know what I mean? Because I was always scared to switch hands. You know, but,
yeah,
you know, now after boxing and stuff like that, I learned how to fight with both, and it's like – you know, I think if I went back, I'd be worse than I was when I played. So, but it was funny. We were talking, me and Dave McIsaac were talking about it yesterday on Sunday. I was over at his house for a party, and he's like, yeah, he goes, you remember? He goes, Frank, he used to hit people so hard, they used to grab his fucking right hand with two hands and not let go.
Just take your left.
Dude, yeah, that's it. They were just like, I'm telling you, it was hilarious. It happened a lot of times. They just hang on for dear life. It was like, fucking, yeah, not good. So,
yeah. But, so, you know, today's league, there are no guys that Wilson's really afraid of. So, is there anything that the league can do to deter? Is there anything that the league can do though to stop some of the cheap stuff?
Well, I mean, they fine him and they stop. Like, I mean, yeah, he body slammed the kid, but I said, like, again, you know, the guy jumped on his back. First of all, the one guy interfered with the goalie, you know what I mean? So that started all this shit. And then the other one jumped on his back. I mean, dude, someone jumped on my back. God help you. You know, that's just that's like a death sentence, you know? Yeah, but I mean, honestly, I can't say he did anything wrong. You know, that's my opinion, but.
You did see the video then.
I don't know.
So you actually did see what happened.
My brother. He's like the hockey.
Yeah.
I called my brother. He explained everything to me. He watches hockey like no tomorrow. So.
Yeah, it was interesting because there was an angle that they weren't really showing on TV, and it showed Buchnevich kind of, you know, it didn't look like he. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but he kicked towards the goalie, assumingly. Yeah. Towards, you know, where he thought the puck was. And so it looked like Wilson saw that and, you know, gave him one of these. You know, which looked harmless, but it's still a punch regardless, you know. So after that, all hell broke loose. Panarin ends up on his back. You know, unfortunately, it's Panarin. If Jack and I were talking before we had you on, if it was a Matt Martin or, you know, a lesser, you know, quote-unquote lesser player skill-wise that jumped on Wilson's back, would we be even talking about this today? Since it was Panarin, it's a huge deal. If it was like a sixth or seventh defenseman that jumped on his back, nobody would give two shits, right?
Hey, exactly, man. It's just, you know, they protect these guys because they're just, you know, like I said, they're pansies and they can play forever. And it's like, I don't know. It's just that the hockey changed so much. It's like gross. You know, it like makes my stomach turn. I mean... it's not the game I grew up playing, you know what I mean? But what are you going to do? You can't do nothing. That's the rules. That's what Bettman did. I mean, you can find the shit out of them. I mean, when I used to do stupid shit, like when I retired, I knew, like, my last game that I played, I went ape shit in Rochester. I mean, you know, I got, like, $30,000 in fine in the American League. That's unheard of, you know what I mean? But I jumped in their bench. I jumped, you know, I beat the shit out of everybody on ice, knocked out like two people possibly come out of my
mouth,
ran around, tried to get in their bench, was fighting with the police. I mean, you fuck, I went nuts, dude. But I knew I was
going out with a bang
across at the bench. I mean, oh yeah, I was done. I mean, I just I knew back then because we were losing like 6-1, and you know, but we had Foligno as a coach. I was playing for Hershey, and he had Scott Parker out there and someone else, and we're down like 6-1, and no one even fought. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Kick their ass, you know what I mean? So then Foligno was being a smartass, like, okay, you go do it. Okay. So I went out, and I got out on the ice, and then the ref's like looking at me. I was lined up beside Eric Bolton. I'm like, dude, when this puck drops, I'm going to fucking kill you. And he's like, no, you're not. I'm not fighting you. I'm like, oh, well. So I dropped my glove, didn't even wait, and just suckered him. And he turtled. Someone else came in. I grabbed him, started beating the shit out of him. Everyone kind of grabbed on. I just skated around, dumped everybody. Then I was fighting with that Jean-Luc Grand Pierre. And it was a shit show. It was bad. Yeah, yeah. But I went nuts. And then they were trying to get me off the bench. And that I was told my trainer, he had me around the neck. I'm like, if you don't let me go, I'm going to kill you. Then I was grabbing sticks and throwing sticks, all our sticks from the Bears, all threw them all over the bench into their bench. Then I was like, fuck. There's a tunnel that goes around there, and I went running down the hall, went through the police. They had me pinned down. It was a freak show. Oh, yeah, that is great.
Imagine being the guy that has to hold back Frank the Animal by Lois. Couldn't be me, man.
Oh, dude, it was like five cops. It was like they locked
me. Are you kidding me? They brought cops?
Oh, yeah. Doug Yinks comes in the dressing room. He's like, what the fuck was that? I'm like, I'm done. Fuck this shit. Bunch of panties. Yeah, it's like, no more. Fuck.
Is that? Can you find that on YouTube? Have you ever tried to look that up?
I never looked that one up. I mean, but it was like, I remember the fine. I think I got like a 30-game suspension, $30,000 fine, something else. Fucking insane. It was like, you can't do that. And they did fucking AHL. It's like fucking part of my paycheck.
Dude, so let me ask you a question here. So obviously the league's changed. The world's kind of changed a little bit. After Wilson was only fined, the New York Rangers came out with a statement, and in my opinion, it was Bush League when teams start coming out with statements, and it looked like they were criticizing the NHL, Department of Player Safety. Today, the New York Rangers decided to fire the president of their operations and the general manager. Do you think that had anything to do with the message that came out about the NHL yesterday? Does the NHL meddle in that kind of stuff?
I don't know. I mean, NHL has changed so much. I mean, you know, Bettman's like a little weasel. And, you know, like I said, he did this to hockey. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you going to do? He just pushed the fighting out. He said he was going to do it. And everyone allowed him to do it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, to me, like the fines and the shit, like it's not the same game. And I know you're looking after people's, you know, but it's the same thing in the street. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be a smart ass and you open, I think that's like, you know, like everybody has this thing. They want to sue you. They want to yap in your face and give you shit. And then you knock their teeth out and they get a lawyer. You know what I mean? It's, the whole world's like a shit show. It's like no one has balls anymore. You know what I mean? I'm in Canada, but I mean, in Canada, we never did that shit. You can't sue for getting beat up. You know what I mean? It's I don't know, man.
So
it's disheartening, that's for sure. You got to think all the time. Like, I got people yapping me and stuff, and it's like, okay, do I knock this fucker out cold and leave him in the street for dead, or do I, you know, just back off and keep? I have one of the best stories ever. It happened this year. You got a minute? You guys? I don't even know what this is. So, fucking Super Bowl Sunday, I'm plowing snow. We got a big snowstorm, right? And I cut this fucker off completely. I'm half asleep. I've been awake for two fucking days. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. And I look, and it looks like my buddy. So he's giving me the finger, and I'm like, ah, I give him the finger back. And guy rolls down the window, and he's got all Kansas City gear on. And I'm like, hey, you ain't my friend. You know what I mean? I'm like, what's your problem, dickhead? And he's like, why don't you pull over, and I'll show you. I'm like laughing. I'm like, okay. You know, so we pull into a shop right by my house. Swear to God, man. Pull into the shop right, and this asshole gets out of his car, and I'm like, oh, this will be good. So I let him walk around the front of my truck, around the plow and everything. And as soon as he gets around, I just open the door, and I'm like, wrong fucking day, wrong guy, dude. And he comes running, walking up, sticking his chest out. I grabbed him. I don't know what the fuck. I usually just hit people, you know what I mean? But so I grabbed him by the neck, spun him around, grabbed him by his ass and his fucking shirt by the back of his head, and used him as a battering ram into the snowbank. So I shoved this fucker's head into the snowbank up to his shoulders, and he's kicking his legs, screaming like a little bitch. I start spanking him. I'm like, how you like that, you little bitch? And I'm mad. His wife's yelling at me, and I'm spanking this motherfucker. I'm like, oh yeah, dude, laughing my balls off. I thought it was the funniest, the greatest thing in the world. And I'm like, fuck. And you know, so finally I'm like, oh, he's kicking, screaming, I'm spanking him, and I'm like, yeah, did you have enough yet? He's like, oh, I can hear him mumbling in there. So I pull him out and I'm like, listen, get in your truck before you get fucking embarrassed. Have a nice day. Oh, it was fucking, I wish, I know people were video. I could see a whole bunch of people with their phones out. I was hoping someone would post it somewhere. It was fucking funny, oh, man. I've been laughing about that for months. I was like, that was cute.
Holy shit, dude.
Somewhere.
What's that?
We'll find it. If somebody did it, we'll find it.
Yeah, dude, it was funny as fuck, man. I'm like, I called my girlfriend. I'm like, do you fucking believe what I did?
I just used this guy as a battering ram and I spanked him.
Like, you're an asshole. Yeah, like shoved his head in a snowbank, like right.
That's too funny, dude.
Sticking out with his like hands and his feet, he was kicking like a little girl, you know what I mean? And I was like, let me spank this motherfucker. And his wife screaming at me, I'm like, shut up, bitch, you know.
Dude, I don't even know how to follow this up with. What's the next thing I say?
That was a good one.
That is a good one.
What you get.
Dude, here's a question for you. So a little birdie told us that if you've watched the San Jose Sharks this year, they had a player on their team who stood out, was getting in the fights, was a reason to watch the San Jose Sharks this year. All of a sudden, he's not in the lineup anymore. Little birdie told us it was because Gary Bettman calls this team, tells him if he's in the lineup again, I'm going to fine him, I'm going to suspend him, he's never going to play in the NHL again. Does that kind of shit really happen?
I'm sure, dude. Oh yeah, Bettman's an asshole. He can blow me, that motherfucker. I can't stand him. If I could beat anyone up, that would be him. I'd kick his fucking ass. I hate that motherfucker. He ruined hockey, man. Like seriously. But, yeah. Oh, I'd love to. Believe me. That's what he needs is a good ass whipping. There's a educated asshole that's never been in a fight in his life that just is such a fucking pussy that he just wants to make all these rules because he's scared of his own fucking shadow. You know what I mean? So. Yeah, I don't know. I have no respect for him. I hated him from when I played. I hate him more now. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think a lot of people do. He's in charge, right?
Yeah, for now. That certainly is.
Oh, yeah. Feels like forever.
Yeah. I mean, someone's going to get, you know what? Someone's going to get hurt one day, and it's going to be like, you know, from not from a guy like Wilson. It's going to just be from some pansy that's, you know, scared of the world and, you know, is going to spear someone in the face or do something, you know what I mean? And then really hurt someone. You know, I mean, that's what it's going to take before anything gets straightened out. You know what I mean? It's
because what player in the NHL is afraid of losing 5,000? Like, you're in the NHL, like, you're making money, even if it's the low end.
Yeah,
what's $5,000 to you? What's a couple game suspensions, a vacation, right? Like, come on, you're not afraid of that kind of stuff. People are afraid of Frank the Animal by Lois. They're not afraid of $5,000.
That's it.
So exactly, that was, man.
Like, you know, like, yeah. Like, you're talking losing your teeth, getting your face broken the fuck up. I mean, there's a lot of shit that can happen to you. $5,000 is nothing. That's a fart in the wind. You know what I mean? That's like a night out for beers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, sir. We kind of wanted to get you on to get your perspective because, you know, we know that you did this for a living.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to kind of a lot of people out there that don't really understand that side anymore, because I think, you know, younger fans today, they've been kind of born into this new NHL. It's all they've seen. They don't really understand the enforcer role. They don't understand the psychology that goes into a game. You know, it's like the players aren't robots. They play with emotion. They play with passion, and things happen in the heat of the moment. But if you have a guy sitting on the other bench, it's funny how the brain works. You won't react the same way. If you're afraid of getting your ass whooped, you're not going to touch this guy because that guy over there is going to kick the shit out of me. $5,000 fine, like you just said, is like, it's worth it, dude.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no – like, listen, man, that's – you hear the stories all the time. Proby, you know, myself, anybody. I mean, like, LaRock, you know, the guy's just sitting over there waiting for someone to be an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, I live for that shit. I mean, half the time I was sitting on the bench, hung over to the balls, like, how fast can I get out of this game? Please, someone do something stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the life, brother.
So, you know, that's the guys that did it, that liked it, were funny. They were funny dudes. Like, all of them, I take my hat off. They just, you know, they don't, you don't care. You know what I mean? So you just wait for someone to be an asshole like Wilson. You know, it was.
Yep.
But he wouldn't get very far. You get a couple of the old, you get a couple of the old boys back in there. That shit wouldn't happen, man. There's no way. So
that's interesting. It's good stuff, man. So I told you we'd have you on for 20 minutes. It's been just a little bit over 20 minutes, dude. Do you have anything you want to promote? I know you're in a business. Do you have anything you want to put out there?
Nah, no worries. Nah, dude, I'm busy. I always looking for work, but where, dude, I'm trying to figure out how to get this shit done. I'm so far behind.
Good problem to have, dude.
Yeah. Dude, like I said, it's always good people out here. I mean, I love being in the area, you know, the fans here, that's the one good thing about Philly is that like when you're here and you get into people's hearts, then they respect you forever. You know what I mean? That's
absolutely,
I can honest to God say, but I played everywhere, but you know, this is a place that, you know, I take my hat off to the fans. It's a shame that they, you know, that they play the way they do now and stuff. It just sucks. You know what I mean? But yeah, the fans, they never forget, man. I'm telling you, still to this day. I mean, shit, I've been retired for 20 years, you know, over 20 years. And it's like, they still know who you are, respect you. And you can't beat this place. I love Philly, man.
You're a rock star, dude. Forever. Absolutely. So, Frank, we'll let you go, brother. It's good talking to you. We'll have to have you on again soon, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great day,
anytime,
man.
Anytime.
You Take too. Care.
You too.
There he is. Looking good, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't say so myself.
His 50s or young 50s or something like that, man.
You know what I mean? He has a nice tan going on. He's got the hair slicked.
Looks like really, he easily really take the two of us with his left hand, which is not his dominant hand.
I'm not even going to lie to you. There was a couple times during that interview where so a little bit afraid there.
Oh.
You know, I didn't know what to expect.
With that, I am sad to announce there will be no T-shirt giveaway this evening. We might have to never give T-shirts away again.
We almost wait for the next 10 shows.
There's a couple of moments where me and Jim were passing some texts around where we're like, we're going to get canceled. This is it. And it's been 3.5 years. We had a great run. This is it. But no, we kept it. We kept it good. It's a shame because I completely agree with Frank's head for the most part. And he even said this as well, the game's not like that anymore. So it's unfortunate in the respect that Wilson wouldn't do what he would do if Frank Bylos is on the bench waiting for him to do that, you know, but also what Wilson did is why you expected more out of the league in response. And what I think this comes out of is two things. And Jason Martinez brought this up. People would say that Wilson's bad for hockey. I'm not one of those people. He's a villain. This sport needs villains. Villains are only a good thing, especially when teams we'd rather see win overcome them. Not Pittsburgh, anybody but Pittsburgh. You know, but like if somebody rocks Wilson and then they beat the Capitals, that's a feel-good story. So that's a good thing right there. But also, they don't. If you don't come out and suspend him for like – they say 20 games knowing he'd appeal and end up getting 10 or 5 or whatever. But the fact that they don't even do that shows me that they want this. They don't care. And this is a head injury, or at least it should have been. I think he's out with a lower body injury, Panarin, and he's got some bruises or a gash, but he doesn't have a concussion. But he should have, you know, and if they're trying to protect that, and that's the whole reason fighting was taken out of the game. So if you take it out, you take goons away and whatnot, and the Frank Bylos's and LaRox don't really exist anymore, but then you allow this crap, it's like, what was the point of taking the first section out? Because people really enjoyed that, you know, and it's kind of counterintuitive, if you ask me. You're letting Marchand Slewfoot guys, and they're getting hurt, knocking their two front teeth out, getting concussions, because they don't know it's coming, it's from behind. And you got Wilson, you know, taking a guy who's so much smaller than him, a guy that puts asses in seats more than Wilson does, and you're giving him a fine, which, as we all agreed on, is nothing. So I don't understand the NHL's aim with this.
Yeah. It doesn't really make sense. So you kind of alluded to, you know, some cheap plays, and I know there's a lot of Gossip Bear fans out there. We talk about Ghost a lot on our show, but last night, in my opinion, was kind of a new low for Shane Gostisbehere. I'm sure everybody's seen the play by now. apparently, you know, arch enemy number one, Mark Friedman of the Philadelphia of the Pittsburgh Penguins, formerly the Philadelphia Flyers, was on a breakaway. He's putting the game on ice, no pun intended, with an empty net goal breakaway. And Shane Gostisbehere doesn't look like much, but when you're skating at that speed and, you know, unexpectedly somebody nudges you the wrong way, it can do a lot of damage. Send him flying into the wall. Fortunately, Friedman wasn't hurt, but you know, as long as we're making big deals out of, in my opinion, not such big deal, it was a dirty play by Shane Gostisbehere, no matter how you cut it. And I think that you can compare that to Wilson's kind of rabbit punch because it's two defenseless players. You know, Buchnevich is face down on the ice. I know it's a little bit different because one's after the whistle. So you could argue even that Wilson's was maybe a little bit more, you know, I don't want to say warranted, but maybe more expected. Whereas Gostisbehere's play happened during the heat of the of play when you're not really expecting to get pushed from behind. Now you're expecting this game's over. I'm going to score, skate around, you know, go take the face off and go home. Gets shoved, flies into the boards. Gostisbehere suspended two games. What are your thoughts on that, Jack?
I think Ghost got exactly what he deserved. That's a dangerous play. The player's not expecting it. And it was kind of freak. You know, I didn't expect that out of Ghost either. I really hadn't seen anything like that. There is definitely something with Mark Friedman and the Flyers. Does that entire locker room hate him or what? Farabee pretty much clocks him in one of the fastest fights I've ever seen. And then Farabee on the winning end of that was cool. Like, but they go after Friedman every chance they get. Every chance they get. Now, an empty net, you know, goal to ice a game, breakaway like that, pretty uncharacteristic, to say the least. And I understand the comparisons with Wilson. And but it's just like, why did Ghost get two games for that and Wilson got nothing? And while we're on the subject, did Crosby get anything for whatever that hump move was against Konechny? Now, don't get me wrong. Konechny pretty much, you know, he was holding him down. And he got him real frustrated. God knows. He was trying to get under his skin. But players get under other players' skin, so they act out of character and either get penalties or, you know, don't play as themselves. Crosby had two goals, and they got matching minors on the play. Like, yeah. So did Crosby get a fine? Did he get anything? Or is because he's Crosby, he's untouchable? Because I don't really care if he got suspended or not, but it was his play was somewhat reminiscent of what Wilson did as well. He was trying to slam Konechny's head in the ice. Whether he deserved it or not is relevant.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, I was kind of busting balls on Twitter. And I know why everyone, for the most part, doesn't like Tom Wilson. Like, I get it. Like, I'm not ignorant. I'm not dumb. You know, I like to play devil's advocate. I enjoy watching Tom Wilson. So, like, when a guy like Sidney Crosby comes out and essentially does maybe not the same exact thing, but pushes Konechny's head towards the ice, you know, it kind of does it more than once.
Definitely.
You know what he's trying to do? What it looks like he's trying to do is flip his bucket over his face so he can't see, right? It's just he's trying to be annoying more than anything. But if you're watching, it looks like he's trying to pound his face into the ice. Nothing. Not a peep from anybody. Nobody in the national media said anything. All these guys that want Tom Wilson kicked out of the game and, you know, banned forever didn't have anything to say about Sidney Crosby. And that bothers me. And they want to complain about the NHL – Department of Player Safety being inconsistent. We need to be consistent, right? What's good for one is good for everybody, right? It's too much. You can't hate a guy because of his past, right? He is what he is, right? Suspend him based off what he did in that moment, not for what he's done in the past. Because that's how you're going to start. I think that's where everybody starts to go wrong a little bit, right? Because if you look at what Tom Wilson did, what he did was not really that bad. In my opinion, they want to do it because of what he's done in the past, right? So this little rabbit punch, the tossing of our 160-pound soaking wet Artemi Panarin now looks insane to everybody because of how Wilson's been, right? But Crosby, we've seen Crosby play. We know that he's not a saint, right, Jack? We've seen all the dirty shit from Sid the Kid, from Malkin, Letang. We know that these guys aren't saints. So when we see what we saw last night, you know, to me, it just looks like a scrum. But after the Tom Wilson stuff, it's like, well, if that, you know, is bannable or suspendable, then this should be also, right? The play is the same. I guess what I'm getting at is you can't suspend somebody five games because of their past. right? I just don't get how the actions are the same. So why does one guy deserve one thing and the other guy deserves something different? Does that make sense?
So that's actually what's funny about it. It's like we had three players here. One's the former face of your league. One is a guy who's been up and down in his NHL career. And another one is a guy with a massive history of things like this, of hurting players, of crossing that line and breaking the code. And there was a two-game suspension and a $5,000 fine handed out between the three of them. You're telling me that Ghost got the 2 games and Wilson got the fine? And well, Crosby getting nothing makes sense. And yeah, I mean, let's be real here. They ain't going to do nothing to him. Yeah. That's a joke. It's Gary Bettman's favorite player of all time. I mean, they're not going to touch him. No. Which is, in retrospect, ridiculous. Everybody should have gotten, I'm not saying similar or the same penalization, but they should have all gotten something. I'm okay with Ghost getting 2 games. That's a dangerous play. Wilson, it can seem not as bad, but there's an angle where Panarin's clearly defenseless and his helmet's not on his head, and he gets choke slammed into the ice head first. I mean, that's... Don't they go by injuries too? They go by your history and how injured the other player is and whatnot. And they go by a lot of stuff. And it seems like they just threw all that out the window because they want Wilson to play in the playoffs. I believe that's something to do with it. Like, I mean, he should realistically, based on his history, like the $5,000 fine was an automatic. That's like, he's getting that. We'll let you know what the suspension is going to be. Mm-hmm. I don't think he should be banned from hockey. I'm not on that level. I don't think it's, you know, it's over and done with. Because partly it's the NHL's reason he is the way he is. But I've seen some of the other things he's suspended for. We've seen so much less get suspended. Like the Farabee late hit from last year. We had to slow it down in the slowest motion to see him be early by a couple of milliseconds. And he got, what, 3 games? He got 3 games? He's a first-time offender, 3 games? You know, I mean, the hit on the Moran hit where you get the 5-minute major, like, That was close too. The guy had just turned. Ended up being a dangerous play because the guy turned. There was no intent by Moran. Where Wilson, there's intent there. He's just freaking out. He goes beast mode, you know. And well, I'm not, again, don't toss him out of the league. I'm not that bad. But for a guy that has the history that he has to only get $5,000, it's a slap in the face to the rest of the players in the NHL, if you ask me. I mean, these guys need to be protected too. They're all part of the same NHLPA. They look at the NHLPA and they look at the NHL to make the right decision and protect them. And when you look at all three of these plays and you see that Ghost is the only one who got suspended at all, that's comical. That's absolutely comical.
I will say this. It is weird the way that they give out penalties. Like the way they give them out is not consistent, right? To me, it looks like, okay, they're recognizing whatever happened in the Capitals Rangers game. You know, something not right happened. That's why we're going to spend. That's why we're going to find Tom Wilson $5,000. The Gossis Bear play, to me, was a very ugly play. I don't know if it's 2-game worthy. I know I'm on Twitter saying suspend him for the year, this and that. That's all tongue in cheek. I like to get a rise out of people. I don't know if that was 2-game suspension worthy. You know, especially because Gossis Bear, I don't think he has a history of stuff like that. I don't think he's ever been suspended or fined before, you know? So in my opinion, they should just take away the fines. Like, guys don't give a shit if they get fined or not. You know what I mean? Like, we just talked to Frank, like, it's a drop in the bucket. You know, if I can take a guy out and I'm only going to get fined $5,000, I'm going to take the guy out every time, you know?
It's almost like an investment when they know this is why they're here. They take the little hit here to make more down the road. And that's how it works.
And players, the team's going to pay your fine. They're going to bail you out. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know. If let's say a guy like Connor McDavid, let's just say in a fantasy world, he's got Frank Bialowis on his team. You know, every time Frank goes after a guy for going after McJesus, you know, what's his name? McDavid's going to buy his dinner. He's going to, you know, Frank gets suspended, you know, and he's making, I don't know, $25,000 a game. You don't think Connor McDavid's going to pay for that? You don't think the guys are going to chip in and pay for his fine, for his suspension?
I'm like, sure Connor McDavid has taken Zach Kassian out to many steak dinners.
Exactly, dude. See, like, it's, you know, the fines are stupid. If they really want to do something, you know, you do something once, you're fined for a game. Do something twice, you're fined for three. You do something 3 times, you're fined for 5. Then it starts to get lengthy. You really want to start missing games. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, example. Because that's when it starts to really hurt your wallet when you miss games. Because I don't think you get paid for the games, do you? Do you know?
If you get suspended, no. Because yeah. they had a stat that said the amount of money that Wilson has pretty much donated is in the millions. It's almost $2 million, maybe more.
Yeah. So if you really want to start hurting wallets, you gotta do the suspensions. That's why I thought it was weird, you know, for the two gamer for Ghost, and he's not a repeat offender. Sidney Crosby, you know, I guess if you're going to do fines, like that's a finable offense. But to me, it's just a scrum. You know, I like when you fine guys for, you know, whatever happened the other night, you're setting a bad example for the future, because what happened between Konechny and Crosby is just, you know, sometimes that happens in sports. Two guys, you know, a little bit hot-headed, they go over the top, they get in a wrestling match, and it's the end of it. Nobody got hurt, thank God, we move on, right? When people start calling for people's heads over shit like that, you start to take a little bit of the passion out of the game, I think, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a history and you do something like that, and you take your fine, you take your suspension, and unless you take your stick and swing it at somebody's head, Malkin, you know, like you're trying to kill the guy, which is complete, like absolutely ridiculous. You know, like, and the guy, he did jump on his back. So I guess there's the little, I'm defending myself aspect of it. He was just incredibly extra. And it's not the game that it was 25 years ago. Let's get that straight. Come on now. Yeah. But like Wilson, he got suspended 20 games for that hit against, I think it was Sundquist. Of the Blues, the center. And that was a head hit that was avoidable. 20 games, which was, of course, I think it was knocked down to 10 or 7 or 10 or something. You know, so like something like this, like that's the floor is 7 or 10 games. Maybe even it's 20 because of how much you already had it knocked down once. The way I work, I have a job where we have to punish people for things they do. And it works on the same system. You know, you get a PDI, you know, preliminary discipline interview, and then you get the next thing, which is like a letter of warning. Then you start getting suspended 7 day, 14 day, then you're up for removal. We don't give you like a letter of warning or a 7 day and then go down back to the original. You know, no, this is where you're at. You know, you're on to the next tier now. And I feel like the NHL, when that's why you have a history, that's why we keep track of all this stuff. So when they just throw that out the window, it's kind of like, what? Like, if that's the case, then let's just have them fight. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm all for that. Like, I get it with, you know, brain injuries. I'm not going to ever allow that. But if you're going to allow this and nobody can police the sport or defend themselves and you're not, there's no incentive. There's no real incentive for teams to have a LaRock or, you know, Bialowis on your team because you need those guys to produce for you. Well, you got a guy like this running around or a Marchand running around doing whatever the hell they want. And they're somewhat, you know, adequate on offense, especially with the players they're playing with. You still got the same problem. Now there's no way for the game to police itself. And you're going to rely on the NHL player of safety or the officiating. That's even more comical than the penalizations that were dealt out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. So what do you think? Should we change things up a little bit? Flyers are kind of coming towards the end of the season. They split with Pittsburgh. What'd you think in those two games, man? Joel Farabee had a goal and two assists. Kevin Hayes finally scored his first goal since, I don't know, I think March it was. Farabee's got 8 multi-point games this year, which is good. Remember we were talking about Farabee, I think it was like 2 months ago. We're like, oh, point per game player, playing very well. And, you know, he fell off a cliff as far as production. What did you see from these two games? I watched last night sparingly, same with the first game. I saw they were up 7-2 and kind of was like, oh, you know, maybe I'll catch the end of this one. What'd you think of these two games?
Yeah. The first game was really interesting because they went up so big and, Alex Lyon had the save of the year. I mean, I don't watch every single NHL game there is, but I don't know many saves that were better than that.
Oh yeah. That was a hell of a save.
A lot of people came out and said like the Ghost made a really good save too. But if you look at the play, it actually hit off of Ghost and started going in the net. So it's like, well, if he wasn't standing there, he wouldn't have had to do that. And how many goals this year have gone in off of Ghost? So I'm going to stick with the Lion one. They just out-hustled and outplayed them. But much like this team has been all year, that one amazing, great effort they give you, the very next game is like it's night and day. And now they did battle a little bit, but not everybody. And, yeah, they hate the Penguins, but they pretty much lost by the same exact score that they won by, which kind of washes it out.
Yeah, typically, you know? Right?
And it's kind of, oh, this is a team that they could be, and they this is what we see, and it's like, don't be fooled.
Yeah.
Come on, don't be that. I don't want to say stupid, but stupid. Like, you know this team. You know, we know that this talent is there to really do this once every, once a month, maybe? Once a season?
Dude, once, yeah.
Yeah, like once in, it was the first game they won by more than two goals in over 2 months. So let's again, this is they could do this. Yeah, relax. Like, you know, I mean, the Little Giants won. I mean, you know, the Mighty Ducks beat the Hawks. Like, it, you know, this happens every once in a while. But let's not pretend that they're a good team. Like, they're not. They have too many holes. And you see that the very next night when they get the train run on them. So it's just silly. It's stupid. It's typical Flyers hockey. They give us everything and all they got in one game, and the next game is right back to the norm. You know, and it's just, it's embarrassing. It sucks. And it's you just kind of exhale and roll your eyes and like, how many games till the season's over?
Yeah, that's what I've been doing for about a month, month and a half. I do want to ask you, because I don't know if you've had the opportunity to check yet. Have you seen the updated HW Power Rankings by any chance? There's a new team at the top.
You updated them?
Yes, sir. Pulling them up right now. Yes, brand new team. I think you'll be happy with this one. I had you in mind.
The Montreal Cole Caulfields.
Dude, how about Cole Caulfield?
I've just been saying it for how long now?
So here was a question posed to us. Right. I forget who it was that asked the question. So I'm sorry if you're listening. I'm sorry. But the question was, has there ever been another player in the NHL that has scored their first two goals as overtime game winners? And I forgot to look that up. That's a great question. I'll have that answer at some point. Not on this show though. Awesome question. Yeah. Cole Caulfield, man. Fun to watch. Must be nice to be a fan of fun teams, but yeah, let's get to the first team on this list here. The Carolina Hurricanes, Jack, they continue to roll 35-10-7. They were 2 in last week's rankings. Just wow. What are your thoughts there? Brendan Moore's got these guys playing, man.
Brendan Moore played for a team when he was in Philly that didn't have goaltending, much like a team that didn't have goaltending that went to the Cup in 2010 here in Philly and was a perennial Eastern Conference championship contender, you know, at the beginning of the season, Stanley Cup contender. That tells me when I mirror it to the Flyers that it is not nearly, and Carter Hart had a bad season. It is not nearly much on him as it is on the defense. And what does Carolina have? Probably the best defensive unit in the league, a hell of a coach, and some superstar talent weave throughout their lineup like Sebastian Aho and guys that just get it done. And it doesn't really matter who is in net because the rest of the team is a well-oiled machine and they continue to run a system that works for them. They all give a crap about winning and they have a legitimate shot at knocking off Tampa, being the team that comes out. And I know Tampa, you know, where the rankings are, remember Kucherov's coming back, so keep that in mind. They can knock off Tampa, come out of the Sunkissed, whatever the hell the name of their division is, and you know, maybe they're like a dark horse. Maybe we're not talking Toronto and Vegas or Colorado. Maybe it's Carolina who's in there and whoever else, because they are that impressive right now.
Yeah, they really are. Number two is your team here, the Vegas Golden Knights. They come in to this week 36-12-2. Vegas was shut out versus the Arizona Coyotes at some point last week. So I think they went 3-1 last week, or else they would have been the number one team. Carolina, I think, had beaten Florida twice or Tampa Bay again. They beat somebody, or they're like 3-0-1 last week. So that's why I have Carolina 1, Vegas 2. And I have the Colorado Avalanche slid down 2 spots. Dude, Jack, can I talk to you about a player real quick here?
I think I know who you're going to mention.
Dude, this guy. I think he's criminally underrated throughout the NHL. He plays for the Colorado Avalanche. Yes, he plays with Nathan MacKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog, Mikko Rantanen. So this guy missed a couple games due to COVID. The Avalanche went 2-2.
Hold on, Jimmy. I have breaking news.
Yeah.
Rangers and Capitals brawl at puck drop. Eight players, four from each team, assessed with penalties the first minute of the game. So you have your answer right there, folks. The Rangers have responded.
Wow. Wow.
Sorry, well, it literally just popped up on my phone.
I completely forgot that they were playing at, what were they playing, 7:30, 7? I completely forgot. Yeah, they should have been a primetime game, 8 p.m. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Definitely.
Go back and watch that one. So, yeah, Mikko Rantanen, dude, criminally underrated in my opinion. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I loved him at the draft. He was a dark horse for the Flyers to pick. Had the Devils gone Provorov, the Flyers were going to take one of four players. It would have been Pavel Zacha, Mikko Rantanen, Zach Werenski, or Matt Barzal. At least from what I remember, those were the guys in that range. That the fact that Barzal kind of fell is like, wow. But if you realize Werenski, Zacha, and Rantanen all kind of went in that little range right there. And I've loved him. I didn't think he'd be this good. Our fantasy league, I picked him year one. I threw a flyer out on him, and he plays on a great line. But you know what? There's a lot of players who play on great lines that don't produce at that level. And as we can see, like the okay players from the great players, and we put up numbers like this, you know, that's when he could probably I don't know if he can carry a first line as a winger, but he could certainly be a big piece of a line. And it wouldn't surprise me if he were to hit free agency, he would make some serious money.
Absolutely. He sure would. At four here, we have Tampa Bay Lightning. We touched on them already. They had a tough time with Detroit last week. Again, they're without Nikita Kucherov. Steven Stamkos has been out since the beginning of April. 35-14-3, and they're doing
Vasilevskiy sat the last couple of games for reason. I don't know if they're resting him. Believe me, I'm in the championship in my one fantasy league, and I'm just like, I can't play him. And I'm like, what is going on? So I think he's back tonight. I'm gonna double check that. But
for your sake.
But I'm like, is it even said it was concerning, and they do struggle with Detroit, who is getting a little bit better, but like they've always struggled with Detroit. They just always have. But so they'll get everybody back healthy. Maybe that has something to do with it. You know, we're in the playoffs. We're comfortable with our position here. We don't want any, God forbid, something happened. They're going to roll full force with Kucherov like they planned, and that's going to be interesting to watch.
I tell you what, I don't know how this is going to shake out. I think the divisions kind of play each other until the Final Four. Dude, you got the Hurricanes, you got the Lightning, you got the Panthers, all coming out of one division. That's going to be fun. Florida Panthers 35-14-5. Do not sleep on the Panthers. I hope we see Florida Panthers versus Carolina Hurricanes, man. Six here had the Pittsburgh Penguins. They jump up three spots from nine. Dude, they're hot at the right time. Unfortunately, they're putting it all together. Who knew? All they needed was Ron Hextall and Mark Friedman. Seven.
And Jeff Carter.
Jeff Carter. There you go. You want to take a guess at seven?
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, you got it. You looked.
No.
33-13-6. They jump up from eight. They had a down week, I think, the first week we talked about this, dude. Jack Campbell looks okay again. I think they got Anderson back, so that's good for them. They looked very good. They bounced back. They won a couple games. They're a fun team to watch. Washington Capitals fell to eight. They lost twice against Pitt, who looks like they're going to take the division. New York Islanders at nine. The Islanders are kind of puttering along here, right? They have great goaltending, very well-structured team, but they're having a hard time putting the puck in the net, which is going to come back to bite them in the playoffs. And at 10, we have the Minnesota Wild, who beat up on the Vegas Golden Knights, I think, the other night, and Robin Leonard. So they stay in the top 10 for the second week in a row. Kirill the Thrill, hopefully he keeps up his Calder Cup ways so we can all win a couple bucks. We bet Kirill the Thrill, right?
I think it was just you. I'm so kicking myself for this, but I went with Lafreniere as the easy pick. It was not properly prepared. He is on my championship squad in the NHL. He's like a couple of years ago, Elias Pettersson, but probably better. Like when he first came out, you know, like he is really killing it, and he's kind of doing it by himself. Like, I mean, not completely, but like, nobody else jumps out. Like, whoa,
I think he's playing on a line with Nick Bonino right now.
That's what I mean. Like these are guys that I wanted back in like 2008. Yeah. You know? Like, I think of that team, the outside of their defense, like who on offense really scares you in Minnesota?
Yeah. Nobody.
They traded everybody, like, you know, and Zucker's in Pitt, like I'm trying to think who else they even have on offense. Yeah, so
Parise, Suter.
I mean, Suter's a defenseman. Parise is what, 34 years old and pretty much just a speedster. Like, he, and you saw like his first overtime goal, he did it all himself. He intercepted that puck, made a move, shot, scored. It's like, whoa, this guy's a real deal. He's really good. And I believe Chuck Fletcher did find that talent. So, hey, maybe there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know.
If you guys listen to the Full Circle episode, Steve, I think, made a surprising first pick, which, you know, we're talking about Chuck Fletcher draft picks. Tyson Forster, he picked first overall. I was pretty surprised by that. That was a fun episode, by the way.
It was different. We were going to originally just go down the prospect list. We're like, let's draft. Screw it. And I let him go first, and he bypassed Cam York, Morgan Frost, you know, insert name here. And, he went with Forster. And from what I read, Forster's stock, I wouldn't say it's up because he was a first-round pick, but it's steady, which means his stock is where it should be, and that's of a first-round caliber player, which is very good, very young, 18 years old, like, what more can you ask for?
Yeah.
Not to mention, Zade Wisdom has looked very good. Denoyer has taken a significant – he put himself on the map, we'll say at least that much.
Just signed his ELC today, believe it or not.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's interesting stuff.
I'm not saying they got Zetterberg in the fifth or sixth round or anything, but, like, you know, he's not complete – we're not getting duds here. We're not getting Mark Friedman in the third round, if I could say.
All right, so I mean, we pretty much covered everything. I can't believe that we had Frank on. It still feels like it didn't happen. Doesn't feel like a long time ago?
Pretend it didn't happen.
Dude, what an episode. Let's wrap it up. If you guys watched, I'm sure you did, because we had a lot of people tuning in. Thank you. The comments were a little bit slow tonight. That's okay. Chris and Mrs. Martinez, thanks for hanging out. Jack, you want to promote Full Circle a little bit?
Full Circle this past week was a fun one. We, myself and Steve drafted the Flyers prospects and just described why we drafted who we drafted. We did 10 each. So that's 20 prospects. And we discussed the remaining, I guess it was 13 or 15 or so, and why we didn't pick them and a couple of notable misses. It was definitely a lot of fun instead of just giving you a straight up prospect show among some other NHL news as usual. Please check that one out.
It was an awesome show. Came out, I think it was Tuesday morning. Can't remember. So if you guys haven't listened to that, make sure you go check it out. We have, I don't know, I put the shirt somewhere. I always mess that up. So Sunday, I don't know if you can see the shirt here, the Broad Street Bully Podcast. They had me on the beginning of the season. We gave our predictions. So they're going to have me back on. We can now laugh at our predictions from the beginning of the season. You can remember how positive everybody was. So going to be on with those guys Sunday night, the Broad Street Bully Podcast. Make sure you guys check that out. Make sure you check out our site. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts and Spreaker. Don't forget. We got some cool stuff coming up, guys. So thanks for sticking with us this long. We'll be back next week. And that's it. Go Flyers or whatever.
Three games left, baby.